This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Well, history lovers, we are back. Welcome in to This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you, my partner Armand Kachigian, as today we bring you the events that have occurred throughout the annals of time on the 1st of April, better known as April's Fool's Day, Armand, or...
Not to me.
All Fool's Day.
Not to me.
Gotta tell you. I'm not a fan of this day.
I know. You refuse to bow to public sentiment.
As do you.
We talked about that on your St. Patrick's Day show. And
yeah. St. Patrick.
I don't
know. Not a saint. Not Irish. Why am I invested in this guy? Not named Patrick. So we've established he's a fraud.
Well, maybe that was an April Fool's joke.
Maybe it was.
2 weeks prior to the day.
But in addition to all the events and who was born on April 1st, who died on this date, why do we celebrate this day? And I don't mean celebrate. Why is this a thing?
I don't know where the provenance of this is.
I've gone to history.com, which is a very good website. It gives us a couple things here, Armand. Maybe as far back as 1582, when the French switched their calendar over to the from the Julian to the Gregorian.
Well, the French have switched their calendar a few times. Remember when they were trying to go, 10 days a week or whatever after the Revolution?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had Thermidor and all those. Yeah, they screwed everything up.
Yeah.
They just want to throw everything on its head. So they changed the calendar. I don't remember what that was. What a mess.
Maybe it was because people who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize that the start of the new year had moved to January 1st. And they continued to celebrate the start of the new year being the last week of March through April the 1st. Maybe it's because they were becoming the butt of jokes and hoaxes. Maybe.
Maybe they just gave them the guillotine, the ultimate April Fool's joke.
Well, that's not really a joke.
It's a joke to the guy who's pulling the string.
It's pretty real.
It's not a joke to the guy whose head is in the basket.
No. Also linked to a Roman festival called Hilaria.
Okay.
Celebrated in ancient Rome around the end of March, involved people dressing up in disguises. So speculation that this could have been tied to the vernal equinox, the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. I tend to buy that a little bit, of course, because Mother Nature, as history.com here says, fools people with changing unpredictable weather, which we've been experiencing for like 60 days here.
Don't bring climate change into it.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
Nothing to do with carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
This has been some unpredictable weather.
Weather is always unpredictable. You act as if this is a surprise.
Not if you're in the Sahara Desert. It's not. I can predict hot and sunny.
Even there, was snowing. Remember, did you hear about that? The orange snow? It was snowed in the Sahara.
Yeah.
And then it blew over to Croatia or wherever the hell they were showing. Whatever. That's unpredictable.
Yeah. But generally. It's going to be hot.
It's always unpredictable. Even California, you never know.
They don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, that's what we're saying. That's what weather does. It's a chaotic system.
Well, generally, Southern California is sunny.
Yeah, but you have Santa Ana winds. You have all kinds of crazy things.
And it's been unpredictable lately. Gray clouds, a lot of rain.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Well, this is a season for rain, sure.
So this holiday spread throughout Britain and Scotland. Armand, it becomes a two-day event. Starting with the hunting of the gawk, people are sent on phony errands, of course, snipe hunting. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of kick me signs placed on people. Now, let's get to the good ones, though. 1957, the BBC's.
Oh, yeah. The spaghetti harvest.
The spaghetti harvest.
That's the topper, I guess.
It is. There's only, I think, two, maybe three, if you mention sort of a corporate one. But the BBC and the spaghetti crop showing the footage of the people harvesting the noodles from the trees.
That's kind of funny.
Spectacular. 1985, George Plimpton's piece that appeared in Sports Illustrated The Curious Case of Sid Finch.
I don't recall.
Do you remember this one?
I think I've read about it. But
the New York Mets sensational rookie find out of the Tibetan Himalayas that could throw a 168-mile-an-hour fastball.
Wow.
And he pitched with one boot and no shoe or anything on the other foot.
Okay. Well, that's funny, I guess.
And the article itself was great. It was one of the great reads of all time.
He played quarterback for the Detroit Lions
once. Paper Lion.
Well, Alan Alda played
Alan Alda does it in the movie. But, yeah, it's Plimpton who went and did it in real life. Didn't he get sacked or fumbled or something the one play he got in?
Well, they had the last play was the quarterback sneak because, you know, they said, we're going to do it last because if you do it first, you may not be around for the other three downs. So, yeah, he took 20-yard loss or whatever. But I think they were playing around, and they let him score a touchdown. He thought he did it on his own, you know, and everybody's phony. Everybody faked it in practice. Anyway.
The other one was this is a corporate one done by would it be Pepsi or Frito-Lay? But Taco Bell, I don't know if you – back in the 90s, they did a deal where they said
Pepsi
they purchased the Liberty Bell, and they renamed it the Taco Liberty Bell.
That's Yum Brands now all you stockholders.
How's that doing? That's doing well, isn't it?
I used to own it. I haven't had it in years, though. I mean, the Chinese, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Boy, it's killing it in China, man.
But their Taco Bell's doing real well, supposedly. I don't know.
Well, they had the new manager come in.
How can you lose?
Bit of history on April Fool's Day, All Fool's Day. What's the best joke you ever got played? Do you remember?
We never did it, you know.
We had to do
pissing
one.
In people's lockers.
That's
like
not,
that.
Yeah, that's
funny
not really
stuff.
An April Fool's joke. That's just disgusting and bullying.
Well, that's all we were good for.
So in my radio days as an intern, I'm interning in college, KSHE 95.
Oh. Yeah.
Big dinosaur. Yeah. Classic American rock station, right?
Right.
Big morning show back in the days when you had the big, you know, not quite shock jock, but morning show that would do something a little on the blue side. They stage a April's Fool Day. They're giving away electronic appliances. Big ticket items. The VCRs, CD players, all that jazz. This is about 1992, Armand, maybe 93. They say, come on down to the St. Louis Arch Grounds. We are giving away these. We will be dropping them from the top of the arch every couple minutes.
Uh-huh.
What you catch is yours.
Fell for that, huh?
Well, I had to play a park ranger on the radio, National Park Ranger.
Oh.
As God is my witness, people were showing up.
Well, we're not even there.
Now, we're not even there. But they're calling in saying, hey, we're standing here on the arch grounds. We don't see anything dropping. To which the DJ, Randy Raley, tells them, this is genius. Well, which side of the arch are you standing on? Are you standing on the side downtown or the side which is the Mississippi River? They said, well, we're standing, you know, we're between the arch and downtown. He goes, well, you're on the wrong side. You're on the wrong side, dummy. You got to move to the side where you're between the river and the arch, and then you'll see it fall.
Uh-huh.
So they did.
Yeah.
Of course, they saw nothing, and by that time, they were pounding on the windows of the studio, which was located like 20 blocks away somewhere else downtown, and they were pissed. But I got to say, as an ad lib on radio, that's one of the best I've ever heard. Oh, you're standing on the wrong side. You got to go to the other side.
You got to get on top of the arch. We're throwing up, not down.
We don't see anything coming out those little windows. Well, you're not looking at the right. You're on the wrong side.
All right, well, you've just established the foolishness of St. Louis citizens.
I would almost, if that had been a television bit, I'd rank it up there with the BBC spaghetti crop.
Well, I don't know if it's
just for sheer stupidity of, oh, you're standing on the wrong side. Just walk over.
Anyway, let's get to the...
How about some
more
history?
Substantial happenings.
How about substantial things that have occurred on the 1st of April, such as 1789, New York City. You know what New York City is in 1789, Armand?
Nation's capital.
That is correct. The U.S. House of Representatives holds its first quorum.
I know
what that is, too.
Yeah.
And the result of the first quorum is the election of Frederick Muhlenberg of Pennsylvania as the first Speaker of the House.
Yeah, you ever heard of the Muhlenberg legend?
No.
Well, apparently, I think what they did was they voted on actually having the actual official language of the United States. It was one of the early votes. And you know what language they wanted?
French.
German.
You're kidding.
German.
I always thought it was French.
No.
German. They wanted German as the official language?
I think it's apocryphal, but it's called the Muhlenberg.
Well, because he's got German. A German name, right. And he's from German, Pennsylvania.
Right. I'm flirting with this gal.
Hey, good for you.
Not, she's not bad, it looks like.
So tell me about a quorum, though, because you can get a lot. You don't need a whole assembly there if a quorum.
Quorum is,
If you got enough people there to vote and pass it, you don't need all the people who would have voted against it even in the room.
You don't need a plenary session.
No, you don't. Yeah. If it takes 60 votes to pass, you got 62 people in the room and 60 of them vote. Yeah, you got your quorum. Good.
Yeah,
you're good to go.
By the way, there's another great trivia question with Muhlenberg, which I've always gotten everybody on who's the first speaker. You know, nobody's ever gotten the first speaker, but he was also the first man to sign the Bill of Rights.
No kidding.
That's right. So
ooh,
there you go.
That
two trivia questions for one.
With Speaker
Fred Muhlenberg.
Do you know in 1789 would Speaker of the House be third in line for the presidency?
Probably. I don't think. You know,
was that established or was that?
I don't know if that's in the Constitution. Well. Who would be? It's got a president, vice president. Somebody's got to come after them.
Well, on April 1st, do we have a constitution ratified yet?
I don't
know. It comes a little later in the year, doesn't it?
Something like that. It was right around then. Anyway, well, it had to be because the constitution specified the president, right?
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, he's also a Lutheran pastor.
Yeah, German. Okay, that makes sense.
Did you hear that Ryan may be retiring? It's okay with me. Speaking of speakers of the House, did you hear that? I don't know. Is it on CNN?
He has kind of shot that down a couple months ago when it came
out.
I heard
it again yesterday.
I'm a firm believer he's retiring because he knows he's going to get primaried out.
Good. You know, my buddy cuts his mother's toenails.
Yes. Okay.
That's right. That's my brush with greatness.
And are Paul's toenails in good shape? Are we no fungus? Can we disclose that? Or is that a
yellow? I think they're a little thick and discolored.
Is that a HIPAA violation if we say the speaker has a little toenail fungus? Are we violating anything?
I don't know. Yeah. It might be a HIPAA violation.
Okay.
But it's not my patient, so who cares?
I don't want to violate Paul Ryan's HIPAA rights.
Not Paul Ryan, his mother.
His mother.
I don't know anything about his toenails.
Okay. Oh, we're talking about her toenails.
Yeah, the mother's toenails.
Well, her toenails are bad.
I think the guy's spine. I don't know what
happened to him. We'll just
assume hit. You know,
what happened to him?
Yeah, what
Trumpism happened to him.
Well, that's swampism?
Trumpism?
How do you figure that? I mean, this guy.
No, how do I figure it?
Wait a minute. Let me ask the question first. He's supposed to be financially. He's supposed to be a financial conservative, right?
Yeah.
And then they pass this stupid.
Passes the omnibus. Which people on both sides I've heard roundly go, "What the hell is this?"
I don't know. Schumer was loving it.
Okay, that's Chuck. Yeah. Okay.
Well, what is the matter with this guy?
They just
Ryan. I mean, what happened to him?
He doesn't have a set of testicles. That's what happened to him.
That's not Trumpism. That's
swampism. I told you right away. I said Ryan got neutered as soon as Donald got into office. He got neutered.
I don't know if he had cojones before Donald came along.
Maybe he didn't, Armand. Maybe he didn't.
I don't think he did.
But
he's the only guy worse than him is McConnell, in my opinion.
Hey, y'all don't even have Ann Coulter on your side anymore. She is pissed off. What does that tell you?
Well, now, here's the thing, though. If Trump did this just to fund the wall, it's brilliant, which is what he looks like he's going to do. Because they can't, you know, because that's the maneuver. The budget, you know, if it was a budget, he can't do that. But since it's not a budget, it's whatever, you know.
Getting it out of the military.
So what? Right. Good.
Well, as if we need more fighters. You've said it's a jobs program anyway.
That's correct. So is the military.
Well, that's what I'm saying, the military. Well, you've said the military is a jobs program anyway.
Right.
I told someone just this morning when they asked me about this, I said, well, if you think the military is just a jobs program, then go have them stand a post and we'll play the Colonel Jessup soundbite from A Few Good Men on just loop. We'll just repeat it right on the loudspeakers. You need me on this wall. You want me on this wall. Well, not all of us, but some people like Armand obviously do. They can stand a post
on
it.
Who says that? I say cut defense spending.
I'd rather have
the wall.
But you'd rather have the wall.
Okay, that's absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't want an army.
Have a situation where the need for illegal immigrants to come into this country is just lessened?
How are you going to do that?
Enforce some laws that are already on the books. Go after some employers.
Well, there again, there's no political backbone to do that.
There you go.
Well, that's why. I was talking to Chris.
And that cuts both ways, right? That's a Republican thing. That's a Democratic thing.
I'm not bringing parties into this
right.
at all.
I agree.
All I'm saying is I want a wall, and this is why. I was talking to Chris about it a couple weeks ago. And
we have a very good political operative in our offices. I shouldn't say operative.
Operative.
He's just a good political
lackey.
No, he's a good political mind.
Well, he
works on campaigns.
Yeah, but we're talking about the wall, okay? And he says it's more effective to have, you know, a virtual wall and to have this and that and drones and all. And I have to agree with all that. But here's the problem. You have to enforce all that. And if there's no will to do that, you're not going to do it. That's why conservatives such as me think if there's a wall, there's a wall. And if you don't want it, tear it down. And then, you know, vote for it and say, I want to tear it down. Tear down this wall like Reagan. And if the people vote for it, tear it down. But otherwise, you have what we have now, where you do have all these laws, but nobody enforces them.
Same thing
with gun laws.
Have I told you about my new tunnel digging excavation company that I'm funding? It's going to be big in Monterey, Chihuahua, Juarez, Tijuana, whole bunch of places. Hope that wall goes real deep. Like 100, 150 feet deep.
Do you think, okay, let me give you this question then. What percentage of illegals who want to get to this country are going to dig tunnels and get under the wall? I'd say, and you have to make a point. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm going to say 10%. How many people are actually going to, you know, give that deterrent?
You are going to reduce the number.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
Of course.
However,
some might climb over.
Here's my fear.
I don't know.
The coyotes. As you and I have researched on other projects, mm-hmm. the human, I hate to say traffickers, but that's what they are. Even in this instance, you would consider them a trafficker. They're gonna use the cartel tunnels, and they're just going to flush people through them.
Well, I'm not sure it would be that hard to find those either. I mean, if you actually have, you know, you have surveillance and everything too, what you think, how far are they going to tunnel?
Well, the tunnels are already built, buddy.
Okay, and they don't know where they are?
They say it's nothing but Swiss cheese between Tijuana and San Diego.
Well, I'm just saying.
They're going to build a project. They're going to start digging and be like, what the?
Well, what is your main objection to the wall? Is it the cost or what? What is your main objection?
Cost and effectiveness.
Okay.
Cost and effectiveness
okay,
are my main
half,
objections.
Okay, if it's half effective, isn't that worth it? Mm. Because you know how much these illegals are costing us every year? They just had another study. I think 75% of them have phony social security numbers. So the ones that are working, obviously, have broken the law.
Well, their employers have broken the law as well.
I don't have a problem going after them,
okay.
too.
Okay. You're consistent about that.
Sure.
So, fair enough.
I'm not going to dismiss them either. But here's the thing, as well as I do, my real
problem on immigration is if you were brought to this country as a three-month-old and you're now 21.
Okay, well.
And they want to kick you out, that is unconscionable to me.
I haven't heard anybody say that.
I have.
Well,
I have.
Now, wait a minute. Okay, 3 months old. Let's specify. But what if you came here when you were 14 and now you have a high school education, you speak Spanish and English, go home.
Did you come by your own accord?
I don't care if you came with your parents. You can sustain yourself. I don't think you're a citizen. Or get in line and try to apply for citizenship anybody else.
I want a path to citizenship.
Okay.
In the Reagan era, like previously done before. I'm not talking outright amnesty either.
I
want a real path to
but
citizenship.
The problem I have with that is
but if you
it's
have,
not fair to the people that are coming here
no,
legally.
No, it's not, Armand. Okay. No one's going to argue that
well,
with
that's
you.
Not, well, think about them, too.
I am thinking about them because it reduces.
They should go first.
It reduces their impetus to come here legally. If they see a shortcut, if they see an end around, absolutely.
Right. You know how long it really takes for somebody? I mean, I had a buddy of mine,
it takes
a
long
buddy,
time. Well, we have a coworker who you know came on a work visa, got married, not to a United States citizen, but got married to someone else who came on a work visa, and you know they both gone through their citizenship process, and it took them three.
That's pretty.
Maybe four.
That's all.
Maybe four. I'd have to ask her.
Jeez, that's not bad.
But, you know, they did it. You know, one was from Croatia. Or was it Croatia or Bosnia? I think it was Bosnia, Armand. And she was from Brazil.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I had a buddy from Nigeria. This guy spoke perfect English.
Sure.
Great wrestler, Olympic alternate wrestler.
Probably didn't get selected for the.
He did, but it took forever. Yeah. I had to go down to court to give, you know, doctor this, and the coach came down.
No, I get it. I get it. The real way you stop the influx of illegal immigrants is you work with Mexico to get their economy.
I don't think it's the Mexicans that are private. Guatemalans.
Well, there's a lot of pass through. Yeah. Yes, there is.
You work with Mexico to not let them come through their country.
But Mexico's the one who gets targeted here because.
Well, I don't think they're the majority anymore. It used to be that. But you know how you dissuade them? You have a lousy economy, which is what we had for several years. Now that'll stop them too. Yeah. But now that's picking up.
Or you dissuade them by saying, look, employers are not going to play this game anymore because they're getting spanked.
I don't have a problem with the wall. That's not at all.
All right. Well,
because that's the only way you know you're going to enforce these borders.
I think the statistics, Armand, after that wall goes up, if it ever does, will be very disappointing to you after 10 years.
I doubt it. Well, have you seen these things? Boy, nobody's getting over it. I'll tell you that. They may have tunnel under it.
Plus, whatever
happened to Keynesian economics? It's the multiplier effect. What? If we spend $15 billion or $20 billion, we're going to get back $100 billion.
You don't think people are going to be catapulted over? You don't think people are going to fly in? You don't think we're just going to see people in boats drift out in the Pacific or the Caribbean and come in other ways?
I'm not saying it's foolproof. I bet you it goes down 80%.
I'd rather put people patrolling a border. Not like what we're doing today, where a guy is parked in a truck and he drives away, and then boom, here comes everyone. No. All right, next up.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Well,
here?
Let's talk about Mexico and Texas because in the convention of 1833, a political gathering of settlers in Mexican Texas at the time, Tejas, helped draft a series of petitions to the Mexican government. Beginning in San Felipe de Oston.
Oh, now, wait a minute. This is the second one, because the first one I remember was in 1831.
Right.
Now, this is the one William Wharton was there, because they wanted Stephen Austin to be. Now, he was a moderate.
Now, was Wharton the guy who?
Call him moderate.
Is this the Wharton from the Wharton School of Business?
Oh, hell no.
No, okay. This is W-A-R-T-O-N.
Yeah, I don't think there's. Well, this is W-H, but I don't think there's any relationship. Mm. Any relation.
Gotcha.
But this guy was quite a hothead, apparently. Yeah. He wanted independence, and I want it now.
Yes.
Because Austin was more of a moderate. He wanted to negotiate, so that's why Austin didn't get to be.
Where did Sam Houston fall in line on
this? He was in on this, too, I think. I think he was more for independence because he was governor of Tennessee, and I think the only man to be governor of two different states.
Well, not at the same time, but yeah. He was, I think, the only man who's been governor of two different states. So... Well, this is a prelude to what's going to happen at the Alamo in 3 years' time.
It's the beginning.
It's the second step in the beginning. 1854, the novel Hard Times by Charles Dickens begins the serialization craze in magazines. The magazine that first did this was the English magazine Household Words.
Which is Dickens' magazine. It wasn't making any money.
So he did a story.
Yeah, and I don't like this novel. I mean, it's well written, of course, because it's Dickens, but this is his call for socialism and...
You don't like the politics of the novel. Let's forget about that for a second.
No,
let's talk about the format.
I still don't think it's one of his best, but it's not bad.
No, if you said, hey, go pick out a Dickens book, who runs to the shelf and grabs Hard Times?
Yeah, but one of my favorite characters is Mr. Gradgrind, which is a great name. And
this guy,
if you call somebody that, we had to call Bamper.
A Gradgrind.
Because all he talks about is numbers and facts. It's like he's asking a girl to, what is a horse? And she's describing, no, how many legs did it have, how many bones, et cetera? You want to know that.
It is a mammal with four legs, 200 and something bones.
That kind of exactitude.
An equine.
If you're a Gradgrind, you're a little punctilious about your facts and figures. Emotionless.
I think...
It's a great name.
I think serialization could come back today. I think it would be viable online.
What, reading?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody reads.
No, people still do. But one of the things that I didn't know about serialization as a kid. You know, when you first start reading Dickens, whether it's in middle school or in high school, a Dickens book, they always go, well, it's hard to put down. Well, yeah, because each end of a chapter is some cliffhanger.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Because... And I was like, man, I just can't stop reading. Well, the reason why is because he's publishing it in a magazine, and to get you to buy next month's edition,
Right.
They do it. Now, the last serialization I remember in a modern American magazine was, I think, Tom Wolfe and Bonfire of the Vanities. Wow, Rolling Stone.
Ways back.
Rolling Stone did that maybe in the early 80s before that horrible film came. Good God.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It's not that good.
Well, it's not hard. Listen, there's been a lot more shittier things.
No, there have been. Yeah.
Please. We're talking about Hollywood here.
Yeah. But that's a forgettable Bruce Willis, Tom Hanks, whoever else was in. I mean, come on. No one. But anyway, I think serialization could do well on the web for dedicated literary types. I think it could. I wonder, and I haven't researched it, but I wonder if anyone's doing it. Because the reason I state this, Armand, serialization certainly does well for binge watching. Because every episode of a good Netflix or Hulu show right now has such a good ending that compels you to go right to the next episode, which is sitting there waiting for you anyway.
Well, but I remember as a kid, I mean, it was comic books was, you know, it's always, you know, like the Fantastic Four is in big trouble. Wait till next month to find out if, Sue Richards gets raped.
Yeah, and Dickens invented all this. It was great.
The Invisible Girl, that wouldn't be fun.
Well,
would it? Raping?
No, it would not. I'm never going to joke about that. Come on.
All right, well, kissing the Invisible Girl.
You can just say it. You can just say you did. I did it right in front of y'all. You didn't see.
Just move your hips. I got her. I'm going to add her onto my list.
But Dickens, the businessman, you know,
yeah, well,
because
that's what this.
Because he got to sell his work twice: once to the magazine, then you publish a hardbound edition, then you package all your hardbound editions up and sell that.
Yeah, but
the guy knew publishing.
Okay, fine. You put in installments, but. Don't be a socialist about it. Come on, Dickens.
Throw his politics out for a second.
Which ironically is because
he wrote
the thing to make money.
Ironically,
he was in big trouble.
He showed that he's one of the great capitalists in the in the publication game.
Well, yeah, he was losing money. He was going to go bankrupt. And he had to wrote it for that. Well, people like it though because it's his shortest one too. So if it's only got 250 pages or something.
And look, he also played to a market. Because the market,
don't we all?
The market was a bunch of people who were working those crap jobs in 19th century England.
Well, sure, but they were even crappier in 18th century England.
Yes, they
which
were.
Is what Friedman always?
Yes, they
were. Always watch his lecture on that. Where
yes,
some
they were.
Snot
I know
how
I
horrible
know.
Things were in the Dickens's, you know, Dickens's mm-hmm. London,
and how bleak it was.
Yeah. Think about the Middle Ages. Yeah, it's a lot worse.
Yeah, 1865. Union troops led by Philip Sheridan decisively defeat, I might add, the Confederates led by George Pickett of Gettysburg fame.
Well,
and they cut the Army of Virginia supply lines, the Army of Northern Virginia. They cut the Army of Northern Virginia's supply lines. This is April 1st, 1865, and we will be at Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia, in a matter of days from this point.
Sheridan's already laid waste to the Shenandoah Valley, which is, you know.
They bring him out of the Shenandoah. You got Sherman coming north out of.
Rivaled only by Sherman.
Out of the Carolinas at this point.
Yeah.
Lincoln is only 2 weeks from today will be assassinated.
Well, don't give away the show.
No, but the hostilities of the Civil War are coming to an end. This is one of the. Once this supply line is cut, there really is no recourse, and Lee knows that the game is done.
I think didn't Sidney Greenstreet play Sheridan in the one where Errol Flynn was?
Oh, that's a good question.
They died with their boots on. I think he was Phil Sheridan.
Okay, yeah, that is worth looking.
Because he was supposedly Olivia de Havilland's uncle Phil, which I don't think is actually true. I don't think Custer was married to Sheridan's niece.
Okay, let me give you the cast here. They died with their boots.
Well, I know
on.
He was in it. I just didn't know if he played Sheridan. I think he did. No. You know who he played? He played.
So Flynn plays.
Right.
Custer.
He played Sheridan. It might have been. Give me his initials. I can give it to you.
J.L.
J.L.
are his initials.
Wow, that's not who I. Oh boy,
Armand, I could go 100 years. I never would have gotten this one.
What's his first name?
John. John L.
John. I can see his face, man.
Now Sidney Greenstreet of Casablanca,
played,
Maltese Falcon fame. He does play a general. He just plays the general.
Longstreet.
W.S.
Oh, he played.
Brother to. Randolph.
Oh, yeah, Winfield Scott.
Winfield Scott.
Yeah, he's the old bastard, Winfield Scott. They were eating onions together and all that.
Now, I'm happy to see that Anthony Quinn played Crazy Horse.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's John Littell.
Oh, John Little. Yeah, Little.
Do you say Little or Littell?
Yeah, John Littell. He was a Warner Brothers contract player. Yeah. He was also in Dodge City. He got blown away.
How about this Charlie Grapewin, who plays California Joe?
He came as close as you can to swearing as you could back there. Why, you dirty? He was California, you know, because he always wanted to get to California, and he never made it.
He's California Joe.
Got an arrow in the back. Yeah, California Joe.
Yeah, and De Havilland, Olivia plays Elizabeth Bacon.
And that was a great parting scene between them at the end where he leaves and, you know, they're playing, you know, he knows he's going to go to his death, so does she. And it was also the more poignant because they knew it was also, she was getting sick of playing second fiddle to Errol, and it was her last film together.
Yeah. Now, what does this have to do with
Phil Sheridan.
Well, yeah.
World War II, Civil War stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is a different
John Little.
This is Phil
Littell,
Sheridan out west at
John Littell,
at Little Bighorn, right?
Yeah, but
half
that movie was set in the Civil War.
Well, that's
War,
true.
Too.
It is. Yeah, yeah. And Custer shouldn't be as maligned as he is.
And half of it was set in the Civil War, and all of it is bullshit.
True.
Boy, don't get your history from that movie.
All right, some quick ones. 1867, the British colonize Singapore.
Our friend Sanford Raffles. The guy who's like every friggin' plant in that area is named for him.
That's right.
Yeah, he's also a, you know,
boy, Singapore done well.
Yeah, I'd like to go there sometime.
Here's
a trivia question about
Singapore.
Man,
I tell you.
What is the only colony that has been involuntarily kicked out of a country? You know, as opposed to secession.
Wow.
What? Yeah.
It's them. Huh?
Singapore. Malaysia kicked them out.
Malaysia kicked them out.
Yeah.
And they set up a British common law system and took over business for Southeast Asia.
It was also the site of probably the greatest or worst British defeat of all time, where they surrendered in 1942 to the Japs without firing basically a shot.
They had lost the Prince of Wales and a couple other big capital ships.
Yeah, they had all the guns pointed out. Apparently, we're waiting for a naval attack, and they just came down the Malay Peninsula and got them from behind. And I think 50,000 of them surrendered.
Good grief.
Yep.
1873, boy, the White Star Line.
This is the White Star Line. One of their first.
They didn't have a lot of good luck. In fact, any ship that had the name ending in tick, such as.
And made by Harland and Wolff.
Such as Titanic, such as Gigantic or Britannic, or Olympic. But this one, the RMS Atlantic, sinks off Nova Scotia, killing 547 in what was the worst maritime disaster of the 19th century, or one of the worst, 1873.
Hit the rocks. Yep.
Boy,
like I said,
White Star.
Harland and Wolff.
Maybe the best advertising for Cunard that anyone ever had. White Star. Get on our ship, and there's a good chance you'll be at the bottom of the Atlantic.
Well, check out Surreal Talk. We did a show on the Titanic.
Oh.
It was the bankers that did it.
They sunk the ship?
Right.
Huh. Well, do that. Eric Hicks, Everett Hicks, SurrealTalk.com. Check that out, folks.
Joined by moi.
Yes, joined by
I was
Armand
on that show Saturday, by the way, too.
1891, Chicago, Illinois. The Wrigley Company is founded.
Yeah. First, what do you call those? The
strip of gum?
Well, no, the you know, where you swipe it to get the, you know, the lines where you swipe it to get the price.
Oh, an SKU. We call it an SKU reader today.
Okay,
a barcode.
Yeah, first barcode was on, I think, Juicy Fruit or Double Mint.
No kidding.
Well, yeah, that's the answer to that. Yeah.
What are the two mints in Double Mint?
I don't know. I remember I used to like their commercial. They had good looking gals on there.
Yeah,
remember
those
twins?
Yes, oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Your pleasure.
I do like.
In fact, I would say it more than doubles. If you got two women, I think it's exponential. I think it's four times your pleasure.
At least.
And if you got three, cubit, man. 27 times your pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't know. I've never had
three. Well, good
luck
to you.
Any triplets out there?
Wrigley Building, though, in Chicago, obviously one of the great.
My kind of town.
One of the great architectural buildings.
Remember, he talks about the Wrigley.
Wrigley Field, which is not originally Wrigley Field. It's originally.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned
Wales Park.
Yeah, you told me. Was it WHAL?
The Federal League. Yes, WHALES, Wales. The Chicago Wales of the Federal League. Then
you still haven't read You Know Me, Al?
No.
By
no.
Ring Lardner. You ought to read that. Yeah. That's funny.
And then, of course, Wrigley Field, where William Wrigley said, yeah, this baseball would be great if we could just get the people to come and not be so worried about the team doing well.
Well, I guess they're not for 100 years
for,
almost.
And for, yeah, yeah for a long time, they got that formula down pretty well.
Yeah. They were always
Wrigley
packed.
Field was, well, not always packed, but they drew very well. There's a lot of days you could walk up to Wrigley Field and just buy a ticket. 1918. Royal Air Force is created by the Brits. The Royal Flying Corps and the Royal Naval Air Service merged together. The RAF, baby. Yeah. The
never,
RAF.
Never when huge store. What is it? Never in history of humankind has so many owed so much to so few.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about.
That's
the
what he
RAF.
Did. By the way, I watched The Darkest Hour.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, save it.
I didn't. Yeah, it didn't look that great to me.
No, it's only the prelude to the big speech.
Oh, well, Dunkirk sucked. So,
I mean, it's bleak, and Oldman does very well.
Yeah,
but
what are you gonna say? I don't know. How do you make it exciting?
It wasn't.
Yeah, that's
it what wasn't
I'm wondering.
To me.
Come on.
It was good to watch Oldman as Churchill. That was fine. And
I thought Rod Taylor was a pretty good Churchill. Remember in Inglourious Bastards? Wasn't that him? Wasn't that Rod Taylor?
Well, I laugh because in the room, Mike Myers is playing the lieutenant.
Oh.
And that kind of gets overlooked.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember that.
But if you go back to that scene, that is Mike Myers
okay.
playing the lieutenant that introduces him to
well, I
Winston.
Like, I like
yes.
the Hitler, too.
9999!
Anyway, okay.
How he gets portrayed
well,
in that way.
I think he's just misunderstood.
Of course. Speaking of Adolf.
Now, did you watch the Death of Stalin?
Not yet, but I'm going to.
It's tongue-in-cheek, man. It's more or less a comedy, if you ask me.
I went to see Isle of Dogs by Wes Anderson, and you can save your money on that one, too. But, yeah, I want to go see the Death of Stalin. That I would go see. 1924, Hitler sentenced to 5 years imprisonment for his participation in
the putsch.
The putsch.
Beer
the
hall
beer
putsch.
Hall putsch.
Yeah, in Munich, I think, right?
Which sounds like a great polka from some band up in Wisconsin, like Sheboygan. Only he's going to spend 9 months in jail.
Yeah, yeah.
But in those
frothy mug in the beer hall putsch.
In those
that's
9 months,
the name of a band.
He managed to scribble one of the worst literary works of all time.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It's horrible.
It's better than Harry Potter.
Bullshit.
Have you read it?
Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
It's unreadable.
Well, some parts are.
Some
parts,
yeah.
Some of it's very profound.
Really?
Machiavellian.
Here you go, supporting some crazed
dictator.
Supporting.
I'm saying some of it is true.
Okay.
I mean, what he says about. You know, the vast majority of people will believe a great lie more than a small one. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There is.
Huh.
How do you think he came to power? That's what Stalin
lied his ass
a genius.
Off.
The guy's a political genius.
Lied his ass off.
Whatever. Yeah, like I said, political genius.
Okay.
That means a very adept liar.
One more before birthdays. In 54, Eisenhower authorizes
now, see,
the creation.
He's not a very good liar, and I don't know how he made it. Just his
of the United States Air Force Academy, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Yeah, they have a wrestling team, by the way. They're in the Big 12. Did you know that?
I did not know
they
joined
the Big 12.
So they are in a legit, maybe the best wrestling conference in America?
No, fuck no. They're horrible.
Big 10's better in wrestling?
Oh, God, yes. Okay. Oklahoma. But you know who's in the Big 12 wrestling conference?
Well, Oklahoma State.
Utah Valley.
So what?
Well, I'm just saying, it's weird that you were Fresno State.
First of all, Utah Valley's got like 30,000 kids
I'm
on
not
that
saying
campus.
That, but you wouldn't think plus they're going to be in the Big 12.
Plus, they got a real nice In-N-Out burger down there in St.
Oh,
George.
Well.
That's a good stop okay. off before you get to Vegas.
All right.
I'm just saying. It's a lovely place.
It doesn't exactly make you Ivy League.
In the Green River Valley.
Okay.
It's a good spot in Utah, actually.
Sure, that river's still green? I thought the EPA.
It's pretty brown. Maybe it glows in
the
dark.
Is that the River? Isn't that where the Kings, what is that, Kings Mine or whatever? Oh, boy. Now the EPA can get away with that, you know. Can't sue them.
Let's see who was born on April Fool's Day. Well, Arma and I start in 1815 with Otto von Bismarck. The first chancellor of the German Empire.
Well, I don't know what you want to know about this guy. He's Mr. Social Security and old age pensions, etc., which is odd coming from this Prussian guy who's, more of a soldier.
Yeah.
He was also totally anti-political parties. You got me there, buddy. You're good. I like that. George Washington. He's also 6'5". This guy towering.
Big guy.
Yeah, he was a big dude. Listen, somebody once said of him, they were surprised that Bismarck believed in God. And the guy says, well, of course he believes in God because God agrees with everything he says. That's Otto von Bismarck for you. And this guy had a propensity to fight a lot of wars. He fought Austria. He fought France. He fought the Danish over the Schleswig-Holstein affair.
Well, as affairs go, the Schleswig-Holstein affair is a good one. Because you had a Schleswig and a Holstein. Now, what a Holstein cow had to do with this affair, I'll never know.
It had nothing to do with cows. It's a little oblast between Denmark and Germany. It was kind of the bone of contention
Isn't today, though, Schleswig-Holstein a German province?
Well, just like Alsace-Lorraine, that was what he was fighting with France over.
See, that's where I think my family's from. I just got to go and try to prove it.
Yes, well, he's...
Hence a French name, but German roots.
He unified Germany. You know, and he basically said, now we put Germany in the saddle. Let's see if she can ride.
Before Germany was unified in that manner, it's a lot like the Papal States, right? Just all these little kingdoms and...
Yeah, fiefdoms. I don't know about that, but there's
like
Prussia.
Saxony and Prussia and Bavaria and...
Right.
Well,
there's 16 of them.
Was Bohemia one of them?
Yeah, I guess I qualify. And I don't know if they were actually all independent countries, but these are parts of... Well, I think mostly he stole it from Austria. You know, most of it was under Austria's. Hmm. So he fought the 7 weeks war with them and took it away.
Why only 7 weeks?
It didn't take that long to kick Austria's ass. Okay. A bunch of pussies.
Maybe the lease ran out or something.
No. No ways. Those guys. Austrians can't fight.
Apparently not. Too busy at Innsbruck skiing or something.
Yeah, they're good at that.
1883?
Well, wait a minute. I got 1879. Stanislaus Zbyszko.
Zbyszko?
Yeah, great wrestler.
Oh.
When wrestling was he fought the Great Gamma.
Great Gamma?
Yeah, who nobody had ever beaten, this Indian, huge Indian guy. And apparently they locked up in one position for 2.5 hours.
Oh, that must have been fun to watch.
It was a draw. Yeah, the crowd didn't like it. But anyway, that's when they started, doing the shows. They said, wait a minute, this ain't working. Let's have a script.
Somebody
works better.
Somebody get a folding chair.
Yeah, that match didn't have a second act. So
it doesn't sound like it had a first act.
Yeah, it had a first act. They came in, Anyway, so this standard.
I mean, they don't even throw salt over their shoulders or clap sumo.
Do yourself a favor. Get on YouTube and go to Night in the City. With Richard Widmark.
Mm-hmm.
He has a wrestling match with Mike Mazurki, and it's
great. Oh, that's a great wrestler name.
They're great,
Mike Mazurki.
He's huge. He's a huge guy. This guy's 5'8", but he weighs 270 pounds. You can just see he's all muscle. And Mazurki's 6'5", huge. They call him the Strangler. That's a great wrestling match.
By the way, speaking of wrestling, I know you don't like this.
I'd hate it.
But coming up on HBO is the Andre the Giant documentary.
Oh, well, Andre's cool.
Andre is cool. Yeah. Who doesn't love Andre?
Nah, he's all right.
Okay.
By the way, Penn State won again. Damn it. The Nationals.
Boy, they're really good, aren't they?
Well, it came down to one match. Miles Martin against Bo Nickel.
Is this all the result of the Fox catcher era and the DuPont?
Kale Sanderson. No, Pennsylvania is just a great state. Now they got a great coach who gets all the top.
But they're obviously going outside of Pennsylvania for talent.
They don't need to.
All inside Pennsylvania?
Mostly. Now, Bo Nickel's from Texas, but the great majority of and other state. Well, once a year, Pennsylvania, the state, wrestles high school. Their high school all-stars wrestle the whole country's all-stars and usually beat them.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, it came down to the match with Miles Martin and Bo Nickel. Martin takes Nickel down, puts him on his back. He's from Ohio State. If he wins the match, Ohio State wins. Nickel flips him and pins him. Penn State wins and wins. Yeah, it was quite dramatic. So, it was kind of a Hollywood ending there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty exciting for about 20 seconds.
Lon Chaney, 1883. Happy birthday.
Senior.
Lon Chaney Sr.
Played by James Cagney in Man of a Thousand Faces. I was never a big Lon Chaney fan. Silent movies. All these good.
You're Bella, right?
Well, I like sound horror. I like Christopher Lee myself.
That's fine.
Yeah. Peter Cushing. I like those.
Oh, Cushing.
Yeah, those are great.
This is good.
Anyway, but that's what you're talking about. Now, his son was the Wolfman.
Yes.
But Lon Chaney was, he was born to deaf parents. That's why he had to pantomime everything. That's apparently why he was such a great silent film star.
That'll get your skills up.
Yeah.
Clementine Churchill, the...
How about Wallace Beery? Well, that's the same year.
Same year, 1885, and then Wallace Beery. Made famous in Barton Fink, a Wallace Beery picture.
Yeah, yeah. But we know him as the guy who beat Ted Healy to death. Remember that? Mm-hmm. We've given him that story many times, Three Stooges. But he was also Academy Award winner for The Champ with Jackie Coogan.
Jackie Coogan.
It's quite a lacrimal.
Give me a year on The Champ.
31.
30, I was going to say 33.
Yeah, 31. Okay, 31. And, well, it was actually a tie. He and Frederick
Were
March.
They still on the two-year
yeah,
cycle
31
then?
To 32.
Okay.
Frederick March, it was a tie because Frederick March was Dr. Jekyll.
Dr. Jekyll?
Yeah, which is the only time they pronounced it like that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr.
And
Hyde.
Mr. Heidi?
No, Mr. Hyde.
Hyde.
So anyway, that was a tie, but he did win the Academy Award. He was married to Gloria Swanson.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
I watched that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Still plays well for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, still plays well for me.
And then
I always wondered, though, where that house might have been on Sunset.
I think the address was 10,086. I mean, they say it in the movie.
So my question, this is so horribly L.A., is that west of the 405 or would that be east of the 405?
Ooh, it's got to be east.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah, it's in Hollywood, man.
Well, it's close to Hollywood.
Yeah.
But
well, anyway, he had a stipulation in his contract that he makes $1 more than any other actor. So he was the highest paid actor in Hollywood, yeah, at MGM.
$1
yep,
more.
Yep, that was in the contract.
But. All right. 1901, the journalist and spy, and again,
yeah, but he
God
turned
bless.
Into a good guy.
Do American spies have wonderful names? Whitaker Chambers.
Yeah, but he got on the good side.
He did.
Yeah, he was writing for National Review.
Yeah.
And this guy was cool.
Anyway,
but he turned in. We talked about the Pumpkin Papers. He's the one turned in Alger Hiss.
Again, do you see what I mean with the American spy names? They're
with
incredible.
A name like that, how do you trust a guy like that? But old Franklin.
Alger Hiss.
Yeah. Franklin Roosevelt takes him to Yalta. Good idea. And he tells the Russians everything about what they're up to.
There is a good scene in The Darkest Hour where Churchill calls Roosevelt.
What did he call him?
He was about ready to call him something because he's basically begging. Yeah, and Churchill's doing the, we'll see if we can help you, Winston.
Yeah, bullshit. They said, sure we will. But how do we do it without getting everybody pissed off? Oh, I know how. We'll have the Japanese. We'll take the back door. We'll have the Japanese attack us, and then we can declare war on Germany.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
1927, great football player and manager, Ferenc Puskas, Hungarian. He will lead the Hungarians to an incredible victory over the English national team in 1954 that revolutionized the game of soccer.
You pronounce it Ferenc, don't you? Or isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, in Hungarian.
Is it Ferenc Molnár?
Could be.
Him? He's the guy that wrote the play that Oklahoma's based on.
Oh, okay. 1932, happy birthday, Debbie Reynolds. Man,
and
sad how she passed
it's
been
away. 2 years already? Jeez.
A day after her daughter,
her
Carrie Fisher, died. She died, but this is her birthday. Debbie Reynolds, also notable from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas when Hunter S. and his Samoan lawyer go into the Debbie Reynolds show and get kicked out promptly.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but I liked Singing in the Rain.
Yes. I mean, she's an American classic.
Yeah. I like Debbie Reynolds. Her only Academy Award nomination, I believe, was for The Unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah.
We had that in a trivia contest once. I got
That's
it.
Good.
Yeah.
Ally McGraw, born in 1939. Nice actress.
She was married to Robert Evans.
That's right.
And then he's got a good book, something about the kid. He produced Godfather. He was an actor, but he turned into a producer. The kid, something about the picture. Kid's Still in Pictures or something like that.
Oh. Okay.
Robert Evans' biography. It's pretty good, actually, about Hollywood. And she dumped him for Steve McQueen.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
they made the getaway together, and they got away.
I mean, if you're going to get dumped, might as well be for a Steve McQueen type.
Yeah, I feel like. Well, his real name, first name?
Steve's?
Mm-hmm.
Alfred.
Terry. Terry Steve McQueen.
1939, Phil Niekro, one of the great spitballers.
Now, is he the one that hit the home run off his brother, or is it the other way around?
Might have been the other way around.
Yeah, that's
I think Joe
question.
May have hit it off, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
The only home run he ever hit.
Is
one of them dead?
I think one of them passed away.
It must be Joe.
It must be Joe because Phil's alive. Yeah. The one of the great things, if you're a pitcher, it's just great to have a reputation that you doctor the ball, even if you don't. Because it's just
was
another.
Was he the one with the thing, the file in his pocket?
I think that
Negroes?
Was Joe.
Okay, yeah.
Phil, and I think it was Phil who might have said he just kept it right on the front of his pants.
The file?
No, the Vaseline.
Oh.
white polyester uniform, just rub the white.
Well, I thought they took it off their hair. And
well, see, they would do all sorts of things.
Remember that commercial, though?
They would touch all sorts of things.
Remember that commercial they threw the guy out because he was using grease or whatever from his hair? It was like for Brill Cream or something? sure, it's a spitball. Look at his hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all right. What the hell? Cheat. Who cares?
No, just put it.
It's better than steroids.
Look, a pitcher-batter thing beyond the ability to throw the ball and swing the bat is a lot about psychology, man.
Didn't we go
over that? So try to psych your opponent out the best you can.
Who was the last guy to spit?
Oh, the legal spitball thrower, Rube Waddell? Do you think was that him? Walter Johnson was allowed to throw it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think this guy pitched into like the 30s.
Yeah, he pitched into the 30s. He was the grandfathered in. Could still throw a spitter.
Because we had that on a show.
And to be honest, though, they didn't replace balls like they do in games today. So, I mean, those balls.
Like 5-6 pitches?
They took a beating. So by the end of a game, you know, you could start to make the ball do a lot because it's scuffed up, it's marked up, it might even be gashed at one point. You know, some teams like the St. Louis Browns, I was just reading about, couldn't even afford balls. So they were recycling them as best they could, you know.
Players, too.
Just right. I mean.
Well, they're good players. They sold to the Yankees.
Today, I mean, I think you go through 6 dozen balls on average in a Major League Baseball game. Can you imagine? Six dozen.
Oh, shit. We should have known this. Burley Grimes. Damn it.
Oh, yeah. He was a Brooklyn Dodger at the end, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. What else? Birthday-wise.
Grimy. I should remember that. He's grimy ball.
Pretty cool guy. Who? Brad Meltzer, born in 1970, who does a lot of he's a good writer, Armand, for sort of mysteries, but he also did a show on History Channel called Decoded. You would enjoy that. And someone who I know you enjoy and sit down to watch every night, Rachel Maddow, born in 1973.
What's in season? Is it raspberry time? I got one too. Abraham Maslow.
Maslow.
But you should know this.
Maslow.
You know what he came up with.
I don't think so.
Maslow's hierarchy.
Okay. What is Maslow's hierarchy?
Well, every writer should know it, but it's that little pyramid of what you need. You know, first being, of course, food, sex, et cetera, then shelter, then love and affection, and then it goes all the way up to like 7 of them. I think it's self-actualization is the last. You've seen this.
Yeah.
Maslow's hierarchy.
That's Maslow's hierarchy.
Of needs.
Okay.
Yeah. He was born in 1908.
And sex is above shelter?
Sex is number one, man. It's food, sex, and heat or whatever the hell, yeah.
Oh, it's in there with the three.
Yeah.
Okay. What about...
No, it's actually... Well,
what about sex for food?
Well, how about sex for drugs?
Well,
anyway,
or shelter.
Yeah. You can use
do what
sex
you got
as
to.
Fiduciary.
That's why it's the oldest profession in the world.
And the best.
Yeah, back to the events.
So is Stormy Daniels. She's not bad, man. How old is she?
I don't know. I saw a little bit of it, and I just...
I didn't see it, but I just saw her. She's pretty hot. What's the big deal? He paid her for...
I don't...
A billionaire paying for...
Armand, I'll stop you right there.
Yes.
I don't know what happened. I
do.
Don't find this person very credible.
What are you talking about?
This
I'm
is
sure
me.
He paid for it.
Maybe he did.
What don't you find credible?
About her?
Yeah, she's a high-priced call girl.
A lot.
Well, you mean the threat? I don't know about the threat.
Just follow the money. She's out there touring, raking it in.
Oh, yeah, good for her.
Yeah, she's.
But that's see, don't get mad at her. Get mad at this dumb country.
I'm not mad at her.
Well, what you should shudder at is this country.
I shudder at the people who would run to a strip club to see this bimbo.
Well,
why
people, would you watch it? You didn't watch it. I didn't watch it.
No.
Well,
I saw a little bit of
thing.
It. I heard.
Which
heard.
Is even dumber. If I want to watch her, I want to see her naked.
And I was like,
I
want to
hear her talk.
And
I
you know me, I am no supporter of our president, but I was like, oh, good God, this is...
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't strain credulity that he would pay a call girl to have sex. I don't think it's anybody's business, just like Clinton, but especially 10 years before he's president.
That part should just be left aside.
Yeah.
The part that is of interest is, did you use campaign finances to pay her off?
When 2008?
No, in 2016.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Have you not heard that?
That's not in here.
Then you're asleep at the wheel, buddy.
Yeah, I guess
sorry.
I am. Well, I got to watch. CNN
that's the whole case. Otherwise, who gives a shit?
Everybody gives a shit.
No,
sex sells.
I don't. I don't care.
Okay.
Just
whatever.
Like you and Clinton. I don't. Okay.
Right.
Don't lie about it.
Don't screw an ugly
Oh,
fat
come
girl.
On. She's pretty. She's nice. Oh, she's nice.
She's better looking now.
She's a nice. She aged very well.
she looks better now.
She's still up there in Beverly Hills. Well, she
was Jessica Flowers. Jennifer Flowers.
She was from Beverly Hills. She was doing okay to begin with.
I got Jennifer Flowers. I don't need Monica Lewinsky.
Now, who was the one on the boat Monkey Business?
Well, that was
Donna Rice. Okay. Yeah. She's a good looking too.
Jennifer Flowers is the best, man.
She was hot. Yeah. 70. I got to get your thoughts about this. Tricky Dick is in the White House on April 1st, 70.
Hey, what is this?
Tricky Dick.
Watch it.
Okay. Dick Nixon.
Right. Richard M.
Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Right. Little respect.
Well, he does something that today.
This is before he took us off the gold standard.
I don't know. I don't know how this would be received today. He signs the Public Health Cigarette Smoking Act.
Yeah.
And this act says it requires the Surgeon General to put warnings on tobacco products and ban cigarette advertising on television and radio in the U.S. effective on the 1st of January, 1971.
Yeah,
a huge loss.
Grappling with this?
Well, for two reasons. One.
Yes. Don't shrug. Nobody can see
under
that.
Under your thinking.
Yeah.
Why do you need to ban cigarette smoking? Two.
I'm not for this. I'm not shrugging. I'm against it.
I thought you would be.
Well, you're torn. You're ambivalent,
two,
apparently.
Can you really restrict? The part that gets me is the restriction of TV and radio ads.
I don't like that either.
Can you really? I mean, that sets
a
price.
You can put booze on there, but
you can't put booze. You could put beer. You could not, for a long time, you could not advertise hard alcohol on TV.
Well, that's changed.
And that has changed in the past, what is it, about 15 to 20 years ago, I think that changed. Because NASCAR couldn't allow a Jack Daniels or Crown Royal or any of those big whiskey or spirits brands to advertise on the cars. But Budweiser, Coors, and Miller were fine.
Well, you could also, it also used to be that doctors couldn't advertise either.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's changed. You know, you want to ban somebody's advertising? Ban politics.
How about we ban politics and pharmaceutical?
Yeah, the pharmaceutical. Well, then you're going to probably do lawyers, too. You know,
I mean, my God, those pharmaceutical ads, some of them aren't even a minute. They go on like an infomercial.
Well, they're not going to do it because they make too much money off
this them. Had to hurt the networks.
I don't know how much it hurt. Yeah, but probably not that much.
I mean, they had to pivot. You know who would help? The print industry. Matter of fact,
I'm old enough to remember those. I'd rather fight than switch.
Probably sustained the print industry for a while.
All right. Well, anyway, you're dangling on this one.
I thought you would hate it.
Of course not.
I thought you would hate it.
It's not the president's place or Congress's to tell people what they can advertise on TV or radio.
That part I'm okay with. The
warning.
Trying to get people to smoke less through a warning, I'm fine with.
Okay.
Because it's a warning.
I don't have a problem with that.
And, okay, you know, I would like to see people smoke less.
If you're so stupid, you don't know. Well, me too. But if you're so stupid, you don't know that what's good for you. You just had a long john.
Well,
you think that's good for you?
No.
Okay. You know that. You're an adult.
I know that.
So what? I'll go have one too.
I don't need a warning on my long john.
Well, that's
if they wanted to put a warning on my long john.
Well, de Blasio, that's coming next.
Well.
I don't think he'll even let you sell them.
The difference is the long john maker ain't lying to me about the effects of eating my long john. The cigarette company, tobacco manufacturers, it's proven we're lying to the public about the effects of smoking.
Well, that's a different story.
And that is a different story.
Okay. Well,
so.
Yeah, well, the climate change guys are lying about that. They're not going to face any charges either.
1976,
uh-huh.
I'm going to give you three names.
No rejoinder.
Jobs, Wozniak, Wayne.
Never heard of them.
Two of these guys you have heard of.
Is that the front line for the Blues? Is that the first line?
What?
Is that the Bruiser line?
That literally does sound like a hockey line, doesn't it?
I know. Sounds like a...
Jobs, Wozniak, and Lane.
The Bruins.
Wozniak
Stanley
skates
Cup.
To center ice and crosses the red line. Who gets ahead to Jobs, loses in the corner. Exactly.
Right.
Well, anyway, in Cupertino, California, they found and
garage.
Apple Incorporated.
Microsoft is in a garage. These guys in a garage, too?
I'm sure.
I don't know where they are.
But Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak. Ronald Wayne is the one who gets left out of the equation
I
all the time.
I bet he's rich, too.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Wozniak did okay, but boy, he didn't do Jobs okay. That's a form of okay almost no one does.
I got to read that book.
I've got it. Walter Isaacson did a biography. My son bought it for my birthday a year or so ago. 1979, by a vote of 99%.
Hey, this is like a Putin election.
It sure is.
Now, he only got 76%.
I know. At 50%, an automatic recount is triggered.
But that's all Stalin got, too. I think he had election in 37.
What happens to these other 24%?
Well, they want to make it look, you know, they can't make it look like this.
I was going to say, this happens.
This is obvious.
99% of the vote in Iran to officially overthrow the Shah, and not just officially overthrow the Shah, but make Iran an Islamic Republic. 99% vote for that.
Hey, did you hear that?
Who are the 1% who didn't? Where are they buried?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I hope it was a secret ballot. Did you hear Trump's New Year's? Boy, he went over. He went off on the Iranians that New Year. You know that New Year's is in March to them Persians.
Yeah,
he went off on them. Man, that was great.
He's firmly in the Saudi camp.
Well, I don't know about that, but he's anti-Iran.
Well,
so am I.
He's had the new Saudi.
Anti-Iranian. Government. People are cool.
You've seen what the Iranian government's
done. Yeah, I know.
Done.
I'm scared of them. I don't want the Shia.
Does anybody from our age?
The Sunnis.
Does anybody from our age group?
I think I'm a little older than you.
You're only like 8 years older, though, or something like that. Does anyone from our age group, pre-Islamic Revolution, have any problem with Persian people? Because Americans knew a lot of Persians.
No, man. I went to college. All those guys were Persians.
Absolutely.
I was on their soccer team. I was a goalie.
There you go. Everybody.
They were all engineers, by the way.
I grew up in a small town. We had people of Persian descent who were, you know.
I don't have a problem with them.
Engineer or.
I don't like Persian Armenians. They're snotty.
Really?
Yeah, they're really snotty people.
Well, they're up there. They're up there by the lake country.
That was
you know?
The first bit of advice I got when I moved to California. Don't marry a Persian Armenian. They're all princesses.
Okay.
So, there you go.
All right. Well, that was 1979. 1989, old Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady.
That's right.
She tells the Scots.
She kicked Bismarck's ass.
She tells the Scots, say hello to my little poll tax as she installs a new local government tax called the Community Charge, simply known as a poll tax.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Introduced in Scotland.
Yeah, listen, if you want to keep the Scots from voting, yeah, charge them a shilling. 60% will go down. It's axiomatic. You know, Scots are. You know, I watched Braveheart. I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Uh-huh.
What a shitty movie that
it's
is.
Not good.
God,
I'm sorry.
How did
it's
that
not,
win Best
it's
Picture?
Not good.
The dialogue is ridiculous.
It is not one.
And how
I,
many battle scenes, the same thing, do you have to have?
I don't even go back to watch it.
Well, I hadn't. I thought, you know who loves it?
Yes.
The Oach.
Well, you could get some charged up. Hey, get my little Pepe going here. And,
oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I like him.
That kind of thing.
Flaccid.
Right. Yeah. We all do.
Yeah, just stay at a.
1997, the comet Hale Bopp is seen passing.
This. Boy, that was brilliant.
Well,
now, I'm old enough to remember Kohoutek, and I'm thinking, wow, what a great. I was like 10 years old, and I was really into astronomy. I didn't even saw the stupid thing. This thing, man, this was a great.
Well, you know why the Hale Bopp became famous? Wasn't
well,
so much the comic
Gate,
because of the cult,
nutcase
the Heaven's Gate,
San Diego,
who caught the ride on it.
Yeah, I think they're still riding because it's I don't know how many it's still going. Of course, I
did
think
you
still
see
it.
About a couple days ago? They were able to reactivate Voyager 1.
Wow, well, they got their money's worth out of that thing.
And so its life is now extended by 2 to 3. It's 13 billion miles plus away from us right
so
now.
I think it's I don't know if they don't know if it's still in interstellar space, you know, the heliosphere and all that stuff.
What do you
I don't know how far that extends.
How do you,
technically it's I think it's in interstellar
how
space.
How do you rule
now.
On that one?
We'll be passing it up soon.
So they have a little thing. It has to get a signal back to just in the direction of Earth. It has to do a little, you know, like they call it a pfft with its retro rocket.
Yeah.
And
well,
I mean, like,
turn, I guess, yeah,
like a minuscule one to get the to be able to receive and send.
Yeah, right.
And they were able to get it on. And
I'll tell you what, we were better in the 70s. I don't think we could make something like that now. Probably run into rings of Saturn or something, blow up. NASA sucks.
One of the most bitter disappointments of my life.
As you seen
I've
Tesla stock lately?
How's that doing?
Ooh, down to 250. It's getting walloped. Well, I think it's because you know that lady got hit. That hurt all the
You knew it was going to happen at some point.
Yeah,
though.
But you see the tape? She walked right out in front of the damn car.
I know she did.
Wow.
I know she did.
It's not the car's fault.
Would a real driver have had much of a better chance?
Think so.
I saw the tape. But you knew it was going to happen.
Sure.
We are going to have some
casualties.
Now
that's a script. You have a guy jump out in front of one of those self-driving cars. He shorts the stock.
There you go.
You know what's going to happen. I knew I was going to do that with Tesla. Remember when they were having all those problems with the things, you know, the cars catching fire?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to, you know, you put that on YouTube, your own Tesla, set it on fire.
Yeah.
Just show the fire.
Yeah.
You know it's going to go down 10 points. Because that was when, you know, that was a big deal.
I would like the people listening at the Securities and Exchange Commission to know that that's Mr. Armand Kachigian speaking and endorsing these policies. And those policies do not reflect one of the mind of Tony Hubert.
They do reflect the mind of Joe Kennedy, though.
That's
where I learned it all. Okay.
2001, the former president of the Yugoslavian Federal Republic.
Nice guy, too.
Slobodan Milosevic.
See, that's a name for a killer.
Slobodan.
Slobodan. Yeah. Slayer.
Well, he surrenders to police, the special forces, and he will then be tried on war crimes. And in 2004, Google announces Gmail is available to the public. And then as an interesting side note, in 2016, Armand Kachigian checked his email for the first time ever and found that he had thousands of emails waiting for him.
My record was about 1,100.
Folks, I'm not exaggerating here. This man
took me 3 days to erase them all.
This man, we kept sending email after email. And was Armand, are you getting these?
I don't know. What's an email?
He had never logged on to check. He had no clue.
Thank you.
Communicate with Armand by smoke signal.
Oh, listen, I forgot a birthday. That's kind of cool.
All right.
Since we're going to deaths now.
Yep.
Grace Lee Whitney. You know who
Grace
this is? You're not a Star Trek fan, are you?
I am, but I don't know a Grace Lee Whitney. She's not popping to my mind. Is she the girl who was green that Kirk falls in love with?
No, that's – which one?
Doesn't Kirk fall in love with the girl who's green at one point?
No, that was that was Yvonne Craig and the one that blowed her up.
Yeah.
Green. Yeah, that's Yvonne Craig.
Oh, she's nice.
Batgirl. Oh, that was Batgirl, man.
Okay.
But, no, this is Yeoman Janice Rand.
Yeoman Janice Rand.
Yeah,
what
like
color shirt? What colored shirt did she wear?
She was the red. She got blonde hair
and red shirt.
Red shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's only like 5 episodes in the first series.
Why'd they get rid of her?
Well, because they wanted Kirk to be banging a lot of women, and it's like
not
she's
just
supposed
her.
To be his love interest. And Uhura's black, so she's no problem. And then
why? Uhura was beautiful.
I'm just saying, but you know, that's not going to happen on TV.
1960s TV.
And then Nurse Chapel is Gene Roddenberry's wife.
She's off limits.
So they kicked her off, and this gal goes.
And it's
I read her book.
We're 3 decades too early for the real George Takei to show up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he could have been a love interest. Scotty would have been great because he had a little stub instead of a finger.
Oh, jeez.
So anyway, so this gal turns into a boozer and apparently a sex addict, and she really hit the skids. And
then
I think it was Takei or one of those guys said, "Hey, you want to make some money? Go to these stupid Star Trek conventions."
Absolutely.
And that's how she kind of made a living and kind of got her back
on
her feet.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and she eventually died. I think ovarian cancer.
You know, Shatner's like 87.
Well, she died at 84, and she was born in 1930.
All right.
So anyway, that's Yeoman Janice Rand.
Well, who died today on April the 1st? No joke. I only have 3, Armand.
Yeah, I got a couple.
So what do you have?
Well, were we doing this in chronological
order? Yeah, let's try. 1917, I have the great ragtime artist.
St. Louisan.
You can see his house where he lived in St. Louis. It's one of those National Historic Landmark places. Scott Joplin.
Yeah, I like his music, of course. If you like ragtime, it's great. I like Pineapple Rag. It's my favorite. And if you watch The Sting, you get a good dose of all his rags.
What is that song
Tremonisha
called? What is that?
Play it on the. Well, you don't know.
They don't have the connector for me today. You know, it's the underlying music of The Sting.
You mean The Entertainer?
Yeah, is that what it's called? That's The Entertainer.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right, cool.
Just play that on the piano. Everybody ever played the piano played that in the 70s. Tremonisha is his only opera. I've gotten a lot of people on that trivia question. So anyway, yeah, I think he died penniless, right? I don't think he made any money from all this. I don't think he was in rags like Edgar Allan Poe and the rest of them. Anyway, all true geniuses die broke. As Errol Flynn said, any man who dies with $10,000 in the bank is a failure.
Yeah.
He didn't have
As
any.
George Best said, spent all my money on wine and women.
Yeah, and the rest I spent rest
of
foolishly.
The rest of it I just wasted.
Yeah. Yeah, what'd you spend your money? Or how'd you go broke, Hemingway? A little at a time, and then all of a sudden. No, a little at a time, then all at once. That's Ernest Hemingway. Okay, so anyway, he must have been investing the same stocks I have. Lev Landau.
Lev Landau.
Yeah, not Landau.
Right.
Lev Landau.
Landau.
Landau, yeah. He's got a physicist, 1962, won the Nobel Prize. This is a guy I love because he had a little scale of what contributions physicists made, 0 to 5, 0 being the ultimate. Now, who do you think, what physicist got 0?
Fermi.
No. I think Fermi was 2. Oh. He got a 2. No, who would be 0?
Oppenheimer. No.
Go back farther.
Newton.
Right. Newton gets 0. Okay. Einstein got 0.5.
Okay.
Fermi got 2, I think. And then Lev was no, you know, he wasn't really humble. He gave himself 2.5, and then he said, oh, what the hell, I'm 2. So he threw himself up there with Fermi and the rest of them, Heisenberg and those guys. So that's our friend Lev Landau. And he was kind of a cool guy, man. He was into free love, you know, although his wife wasn't. So yeah. That led to some problems.
How'd the physics of that work out
for
him?
Yeah, not too good. A lot of friction. So anyway, so the guy gets hit by a car. He's got some psychiatric problems. Dies. He actually had his car accident like 6 years before he died, but he was kind of useless after that accident, and he just kind of wallowed in it and dropped dead eventually. But he was in a coma for a while. But interesting guy, Lev Landau. Apparently did a lot of, you know, had a lot of theories, and well, he won the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got Max Ernst.
Max
Ernst.
He's
kind of a neat artist. I'm not
I have a book
surrealist.
On, it's German good. Expressionism.
Yeah, he's great. I like Max
Ernst. I have a retrospective book of his at home. I saw an exhibition, oh man, probably when I was in my 20s. Bold paintings.
Yeah.
I mean, strong, strong,
crazy
bold
shit this guy came up with.
Subject matter is, yes.
Yeah, listen, if you want to take a little LSD and check out Max Ernst.
It would be a good trip,
yeah,
pun
his,
intended.
His oeuvre.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
okay.
That would be a good.
Listen to Scott Joplin.
I think there was another one. There was a Beckmann in that kind of group as well, a German expressionist.
Well, there's all kinds of wild men in that bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Check out The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, the movie with Conrad Veidt. Expressionist German cinema.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you got, I guess we got Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye passed away in 1984.
His old man kind of, well, I mean, didn't he get in a, I think his old man was beating the crap out of his mother, and then he tried to get involved.
Yep.
And, but they said he had a death wish anyway. Apparently he tried to commit suicide, and he knew his old man, because he bought the old man's gun.
Yeah, he had a troubled boy when Marvin.
Hey, he's a talented guy. I like
when
him.
When he had it, when he was right, it was so right.
Did he do Sexual Rescue or whatever?
No, Sexual Healing.
Healing. That's a pretty good song. I like
sexual
that song.
Sexual Healing feels good to me.
Kind of a staccato.
He really became
famous. Roboto.
Really became. He did the national anthem at the NBA All-Star Game. Circa 82, 83.
Grapevines is a big song.
At the
right?
LA Forum, yeah. Well, I mean, come on. He has one of the most perfect albums of all time.
What is it? Just Marvin Gaye?
What's going on?
What is it?
What's going on?
What's going on? Okay.
I think 71.
I like him. I like his
music. I mean, sensational.
I like the Raisin commercial.
I hope Marvin. Well,
he was a troubled spirit.
Probably didn't make the money he deserved either.
Yeah, I don't think he had much.
God bless, could he sing, though.
Yeah, I like his voice.
I mean, a lot of people say it was Marvin Gaye who kind of legitimized the NBA and because of that performance.
Really?
Because you got to remember, the early 80s NBA was having trouble.
I like the ABA better.
The league did not have a good reputation.
Okay. Well,
and then Magic Johnson and Larry Bird came along, pretty much saved it.
Well,
and
that'll rejuvenate it.
Got him to Michael Jordan, and then they were off and running. 1993, American stock car driver drove the Hooters car.
Oh, well, I bet he got laid.
I don't know if he did or not, because he might have been a really, really nice guy. No.
Well, those guys never get laid.
No, he might have been a really, really nice guy. Alan Colwicky, and to this day, drivers do the tribute lap in his honor when they win a race called the Polish Victory Lap.
Where they go in reverse?
They come to the start-finish line after the cool-down lap, put it in reverse, and go around backward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, do they row a gondola around the – that's not funny.
No.
We apologize to all our Polish listeners.
No, but I mean, again, NASCAR is a sport where you can get away with that because they truly, you know, they call it the Polish victory lap. Seems derogatory, but it's not. It's a thing of honor.
The guy walks up to the counter and says, listen, I want some Polish sausage, some Polish ham, some Polish brandy. And the guy looks at him and goes, you're Polish, aren't you? He goes, yeah, how'd you know? He goes, this is a hardware store. It's kind of funny. My residency director told
That's
me
good.
That one.
Well, that reminds
30 years ago.
Dumb blonde joke.
Okay.
Blonde walks up to the counter, like to order a cheeseburger. Lady looks at her and goes, ma'am, are you insane? Are you crazy? You're in a library. The blonde goes, oh, I'd like to order a cheeseburger.
Not bad. It's okay.
Well, okay. That's our April Fool's edition.
And listen to our surreal talk on O.J. Simpson. It was very interesting.
Ooh,
yeah, we're talking about the juice.
Man, I could go on and on.
Nick almost convinced me it's his son that killed Nicole.
I am of the belief that the son was at least with him.
Should have done the show.
I believe there were two individuals.
Okay.
I have been to the scene.
Yeah.
As close as you can get to the scene. That place is still private property. I have driven past OJ's house when it was still standing. It has since been demolished and a new house has been erected on that site. There is no question that he could make it from Gretna Green to Rockingham in a matter of
Nick's contention. He had a lot of irregularities.
Yeah, there's no question.
Okay.
However, there's also no question that the police could have made it from Bundy, Gretna Green, to Rockingham and contaminated the crime scene, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Yeah, well, they bungled it, no doubt about that.
Well, Mark Furman completely blew them out of the water.
And what's his name? Van Adder apparently wasn't.
That wasn't very good.
He was a little incompetent,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
April 1st, done and dusted, folks. We thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. Well, Apple Podcasts is what they call it now. And like us on Facebook, This Day in History, Facebook/This Day in History Podcast, Twitter, History_podcast. Follow us on Instagram as well. All right, when April 2nd rolls around, we will be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.